Tuesdays on WMUK's Let's Hear It, we are featuring composers of color who excelled in classical music through the ages with the help of Western Michigan University music student and violist John Boyd. This flowing and driven music was composed by a unique individual whose story we'll hear next on Let's Hear It. John Boyd, it's nice to have you back here for the third week in a row this month to talk about a person of color who contributed something great to classical music.
Definitely. It's great to be back here and to talk about such an interesting person.
I know nothing about Florence Price, and I can't wait to know more. So why don't you start the story?
Okay, so Florence, being obviously an African-American woman, this is a great big deal for African-American composers. She was born in 1887 in Little Rock, Arkansas, actually. And her mother was the first one who got her into music. Her mother played the piano, and so she taught her piano. Florence, she did her first public recital at the age of 4, playing the piano. So she was quite the prodigy there. And then she published her first piece at the age of 11. She had her first published work.
Wow.
Yeah, so a short piece for piano. Pretty cute piece, if I may say so myself. But her mother was her main teacher, and then she moved to with a lady named Charlotte Andrews in elementary school. She studied with her all throughout high school. She moved, she went to college at the New England Conservatory for Music in 1933, and graduated with a degree in organ and piano performance in 1936.
That must have been quite a transition going from Arkansas, was it?
Yes, Arkansas, yeah.
Over to Boston.
Boston, yes. So.
But she must have been extremely talented and motivated.
Definitely, definitely the hard worker, definitely extremely talented when it came to music. After she left the New England Conservatory, she taught at a few colleges in the South. So she moved back to Arkansas, taught at two colleges there. Then she moved to Georgia for a while and taught at Clark Atlanta for a few years. And then she moved back to Arkansas and got married in 1928 to Thomas Price. So,
thus becoming Florence Price.
Thus becoming Florence Price, yes. They got divorced, sadly, in the early 1930s. And it was the time in between her first divorce and her second marriage, which came about 1935, she started composing. That was kind of her main interest at the time. She was making money by teaching privately piano on the side, but composing was her real passion at that point. And in 1932, her symphony in E minor, her first symphony, it won the Wanamaker Prize. It actually won 4 awards in that the competition that year in 1932, including the Best Symphonic Composition.
Well, stop right there. Historically, having your work recognized as a female is very difficult.
Yes.
Look at Rebecca Clark and the viola.
Oh, yes, her sonata. Viola sonata, yes.
Being an African-American female to win a prize like this, I'm like, how did that happen? Was there just a great degree of fairness on the judging panel, or it was just such an outstanding piece?
The Symphony in E minor is an outstanding work. It's really representative of her hard work and determination at that point in her life, and really wanting to get her name out there as a composer. And actually, one of her her composition students won an award at the Wanamaker competition that year as well. So says a lot about her.
Is this a little symphony, or are we talking full-blown late romantic piece?
Yes, full-blown 40-minute symphony. 4 movements, each with their own individual style and characteristic. She wrote a magnificent piece here.
This was a major, major event for her. Did she see success from being recognized as the first African-American female composer to have a symphony premiered in the United States?
Oh, yes. Well, that came actually later that year. Frederick Stock, who was the conductor of the Chicago Symphony, actually premiered this work with the Chicago Symphony at the Chicago World's Fair so in 1933. So
that was the World's Fair.
At the World's Fair, yeah, actually. So that's she was the first African-American woman to have a symphonic work premiered by a major American orchestra and with the Chicago Symphony. during all this time, she's actually in grad school as well. So she graduated from the American Conservatory and the Chicago Music College in 1934. So she was dual enrolled at two universities, also writing symphonies and winning prizes at this time.
She could write a symphony, but she was also determined to have the kind of bona fides or the recognition that degrees would give her to continue in her career.
Definitely. She was very big on education, and that's kind of, I think, what led to her success. Ultimately, she had the chance to study with a lot of good composition teachers and pianists and really learned how to, how to write well and how to organize things in a nice way, composition-wise.
What did she go on to do and achieve after this big win?
Well, she wrote two more symphonies and lots of small pieces for piano and songs for voice. She got divorced again in 1940. I believe she got divorced again. And then she started to, she was an organist for a silent film theater. She also orchestrated for WGN Radio in Chicago. Those were her main gigs after her divorce, as well as teaching on the side and things like that.
She had numerous income streams, as we would say.
Definitely numerous income streams, yes. But organ playing was her main focus at that point in her life.
Did her music continue to be performed on American stages, or was that a one-off?
Yes, it continued to be performed, especially by the Chicago's Women's Philharmonic. They premiered a few of her works as well, including her Symphony No. 3 in C minor, as well as the WPG Orchestra here in Detroit actually premiered a work of hers as well. She saw a lot of American premieres in her time, yeah.
Now, this time in American music, you've got your George Gershwin and you have your George Crumb. So, what does her music sound like?
It puts me in the mind of different African-American composers of the time. So, like, that William Grant Steele, her symphonies have a very somber type of feeling and sound, very dark, still yet nice and flowing, and there are good melodies that you can walk away humming from the piece as well. And there's definitely this kind of darkness. I don't know if it's indicative of anything in her life. I mean, it's said that her first husband was abusive, and she started writing this piece right towards the end of her marriage. So maybe that had something to do with the darkness of the Symphony in E minor, but it's definitely indicative of the other African-American composers at the time.
I would say the lyricism of William Grant Still is one of his finest qualities. And will you find that here in Florence Price's music?
Definitely. You find that everywhere throughout the symphony. Nice, long, flowing lines. And it's very interesting to listen to.
If you could describe it as a journey, where would the symphony go?
I'd say, it reminds me of sort of like the Grand Canyon, it like kind of leads to this open, big open space, and it has a very, very nice ending, and I think of something very picturesque.
Women composers are often categorized by male critics and other composers as having smaller, more gentle thoughts, and that's how they write their music. It's just pretty and less substantive. What would you say in regards to that, with where this symphony is an example?
I think throughout music history, we've always underestimated women. I mean, starting from Clara Schumann, who's one of the greatest pianists, way better than her husband, I might add. She's a great pianist and great composer as well. So I think it's a little bit unfortunate that throughout history that we've underestimated women. Florence is an excellent composer. I will add that. Or was an excellent composer. She passed away in 1953, unfortunately, of a stroke at 66 years old. But she wasn't afraid of that. Wasn't afraid of the stigma about women in classical music, African-American women in classical music. She was a go-getter type of person, and it really shows in all her hard work and dedication.
John, where can we find out more about Florence Price?
You can find out more about Florence Price at afroclassical.com. That's one of my favorite resources for information on African-Americans in classical music.
John Boyd, thank you so much for coming on WMUK, sharing these wonderful composers with us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.